Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Congratulations to Keith, who won Woods and Paul's personal tickets to the Padres game against the St. Louis Cardinals tomorrow night at Petco Park.
Enjoy.
Opener of another six-game homestand. And hopefully after that, Padres will start getting some players back. We'll continue to discuss the COVID impact on the team, the series that just finished, Blake Snell's outing, a lot of stuff we haven't gotten to yet. Padres related here for the rest of our show. Tim Haggerty, voice of the El Paso Chihuahuas, is going to be with us in about 10 minutes. But right now, don't do this. Three stories that make you shake your head. And we're actually going to let Pauly get us started today with Don't Do This.
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater went on a podcast with Patrick Peterson and Bryant McFadden, the All Things Covered podcast for CBS Sports, and he criticized how the Panthers practiced last year during his stint with Carolina.
Pretty interesting.
He's now with the Denver Broncos, but he says, one of the things we didn't do much of when I was there, we didn't practice two-minute drills, we didn't practice red zone, we didn't practice on Fridays, but you walked through the red zone stuff, and then Saturday you came out and practiced red zone, but you only got 15 live reps.
That's insane to me.
So they had first-year head coach Matt Rhule last year, and so they did it a little bit differently. Friday was a walkthrough instead of a full practice, and then Saturday was a full practice. And Bryant McFadden, he noted that many teams devote an entire day of practice to red zone and two-minute drills, and they just didn't do that. Rhule did speak with the media yesterday. He said, we have a process. We have a practice schedule.
Oh, my God.
I think we're pretty organized. We try to address all the situations. I'm not going to delve into specifics about our process. I feel good about the way we practice.
28th in red zone offense, by the way, in 2020. It would be the equivalent to, in my mind, it would be the equivalent to going to the range and just hitting driver. 150 balls, driver. Just driver, 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 like Bryson DeChambeau. Driver, 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 driver. Hey, man, you want to work some wedges in? You want to chip a little bit? You want to putt a little? Good. Yeah, you know, I'll roll three putts.
I automatically equated it to, like, basketball practice. Like, we would always do a shoot-around either the morning of or the day before a game. Keep it light. Before that, hard practice.
Yeah.
It'd be like flipping those, doing a shoot-around, and then having a hard practice for the game, and then not working on your full-court press. Or something that's going to come up in a critical moment of the game.
What's more important for an offense than your red zone off? That's the red zone. That's where you score. Like, that's how you get points to win games. That
two-minute drill comes with less than 2 minutes remaining.
Yeah, you're down a score.
Within striking distance.
What in the world?
Put it this way. Do you think Bill Belichick devotes a good portion of practices each week to the red zone and the two-minute drill?
Oh, yeah.
My guess is that he does. And teams that aren't are missing the boat here. But, if you want to try to reinvent the wheel and do it differently, hey, maybe we'll score, maybe we won't. You know, the plays are different in the red zone. They're different. You can't run the same playbook because receivers run out of room. You can't run out of the end zone or anything. So you have to have a completely different set of plays and be ready for it.
That is fascinating.
Totally don't get that.
That's fascinating to me.
Make a lot of sense.
It just blows my mind. All right, so Ben, have you ever heard of the 3-year letterman on Twitter?
You had mentioned it, and I'm familiar with the concept, at least.
Yeah, he's a troll. Like, it's funny, though. It's so
a parody.
Parody of a football coach. And in his Twitter bio, it says, it's at 3, the number 3, your Letterman. Youth football coaching legend, diehard Georgia fan, 3-year high school football Letterman, show-stopping Little League umpire. It's clearly a bit. He's got over 203,000 Twitter followers. Now, there was a video going around. Don't know if you guys saw it, but it was of a youth football practice. And one guy is the ball carrier. The other guy is the other kid, I should say. They're about 7. One carrier is the ball carrier, and then the other guy's on the other side, and they run. They meet in the middle, and one kid gets his clock cleaned. Helmet to helmet, the whole thing. It's really kind of nauseating. And I kept putting Bo in a helmet, watching some kid plow through him. Made me kind of sick to my stomach. And it went extremely viral. It's being called out by all kinds of former football players, football coaches. Well, 3-year Letterman, doing the bit that he does, tweeted, "Hey, I love this. I have my kids as a youth football coaching legend. I encourage parents to have their kids do similar drills at much younger ages to ensure they're mentally ready. Those two kids learn more in this 5-second drill than they ever will in a full school year." It's clearly a parody, but Newsweek did not see it as a parody, and they actually quoted the 3-year Letterman in their article about this football drill. Not all were in agreement, however. Some argued the drills were an important part of learning the sport, despite the risk of severe head injury. And they quoted the 3-year Letterman. "All you would have to do is do 1 second of research to know this is clearly parody. Clearly." Just the fact that he calls himself a youth football coaching legend, number one. The fact that he says those two kids learn more in this 5-second drill than they ever will in a full school year. That didn't tip you off, Newsweek? Oh, my God. And he said, so he retweeted.
It's almost like an Oklahoma drill for 6-year-olds.
6-year-olds. And he says, "Wow, I never expected to be quoted in Newsweek." He's like, maybe time for me to hang him up because this is the pinnacle of success. I think it's so funny how he does it.
People lament that journalistic standards have dropped in recent years, and I'm here to say they have.
Craig Steeman.
They definitely have. There's nothing wrong with Craig Steeman, though.
Craig Steeman
I have no problem whatsoever with Craig Steeman.
Yeah, Craig Steeman.
It's like
amazing.
My favorite thing I've read in the newspaper in months was Craig Steeman. So, no, don't slander at Craig Steeman or the UT. I want them to print Craig Steeman the rest of the season.
I did too, actually.
All right, I will finish with a golf story here, Woodsy. This is the time of the year when the NCAA conducts their championships, including in golf. San Diego State, USD, going to both be competing this week in regional competition. You get, I think, 18 teams, and they play for like 3 days, and then the top 6 advance to the NCAA finals. They were doing that around the country on the women's golf side this past week, including one regional with a bunch of teams in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Unfortunately, it had been raining kind of leading up to the tournament, and the course was quite saturated and wet. And the NCAA committee representative named Brad Hurlbutt, had to come down the stairs and make an unfortunate announcement to all the players gathered. We have the audio of Brad Hurlbutt here.
So this is one of the most gutting decisions and announcements that I've ever been a part of. Even though the course is playable, it's not playable at a championship.
So he said, you hear that? He said it's playable, but not playable at a championship level. Now you hear the ladies in the background get pretty outraged at this, and they start, yelling at him and crying, and because for many this is their like last tournament of their career, and they've been getting really excited for it.
It's playable.
And they just had it taken away from him. He said, "It's playable."
Oh God!
And then he just got up and walked away.
Yep.
Don't shoot me, the messenger, Brad Hurlbutt.
Do not want to get on the bad side of a bunch of female college golfers.
Dude, they are ready to jam.
They showed pictures of the course.
Was it underwater?
There were some puddles. No, there were some puddles, but the greens looked good. the bunkers were still sand. I mean, it was grass. It was going to be mucky and muddy, but...
But they wanted to play.
They wanted to compete. That's what they were there for. And they were sad that it just got kind of ripped away from him.
Freaking Brad Hurlbutt, dude. Every time. Every time. He's the most disappointing guy.
Brad Hurlbutt. He probably didn't get made fun of as a kid.
Oh, I bet not. Hey, look who's here. Hurlbutt.
Come on, guys. Hurlbutt's coming.
Oh, God. Hurlbutt's coming out tonight? Pass.
Who has the last laugh, though, is a successful lower-level NCAA golf administrator now.
He showed them.
He's
probably a very nice fellow, to be honest with you. Sorry. The Fan. I'm on cough syrup.
We'll talk to Tim Haggerty. He's the voice of the El Paso Chihuahuas, which is where the Padres now get the majority of their players.
Brad Hurlbutt.
Due to COVID.
Sounds made up.
They also have their first home game in almost 2 years tonight.
Brad Hurlbutt.
Hurlbutt.
That's coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Hurlbutt.
Brad Hurlbutt. Hurlbutt. Plays here.
Plays here.